As we study from the Word of God this morning, we're wanting to consider one of the very important commandments that God gives to young people. We want to go to the book of Ecclesiastes, Ecclesiastes chapter 11, and we want to read from verse 9 down to chapter 12, verse 1. If you think that sounds like a lot, that's a three-verse reading there. Starting in Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 9, he says, "Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thy heart, and in the sight of thine eyes." And as we've pointed out before, there are a lot of people who love to put a period right there and not have anything to come after that. And that would sound very, very enticing to a lot of people. But the Lord is not encouraging or endorsing this approach here for the young to rejoice in their youth and to let their heart cheer them and walk in the ways of their heart and the sight of their eyes. If we are walking according to our own heart and the sight of our own eyes at any stage of life, then whose ways are we not walking by? Then we're not walking by the Lord's. That is not something that God would speak favorably of at any point. Now, it is really important for us to see that this is what he is presenting to young people. This is not something that is to enter our minds for consideration when we're older in years. And experience, this is something God is calling to the attention of the young, and also is showing the tendency of youth here with those words in the first part of verse 9. And it is to follow after whatever is in one's heart or after the sight of their eyes. And that's what happens when we're young. We want to do all the fun stuff and find all those things that look pleasurable to us and go after all of that. But he's giving a reminder here as we see the rest of verse 9. He says, "But know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment." So he says, you go ahead and do that. You follow that route. And then you have a God who's going to bring you into judgment one day. So if that's what we go after and that's what we persist in, then we're going to have to answer to God for that. So that's not what God would have us to do. And so he says in verse 10, "Therefore remove sorrow from thy heart and put away evil from thy flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity." Then verse 1 of chapter 12 says, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them." So rather than following after one's heart and the sight of one's eyes and following after all this, these vanities and pleasures that are in this life, young people are directed by God to remember Him from their youth. So remembering our Creator from the time that we're young. And there's a lot in God's Word to encourage young people to do this. This today is, and I don't just mean this particular day, but this is the day we have right now, so this is a good day to do it also. But these days, in our time right now, young people have so much of this temptation to follow after these vanities and pleasures that are this world has to offer, most of us that are in this room right now can very well remember a day not too long ago when it did require a little more effort on your part to find some of these. Some of these temptations, perhaps, that one can get caught up in youth. But now the effort really has to be expended in fighting off all this temptation that just comes right after all of us. But it starts with our young people. I mean, we don't have to go into all the details of, I mean, there's a lot of changes in what that have taken place and what our children are taught in their schools, not and from the very earliest ages, but also all these things that come in through with all of these modern conveniences and technology that we have. I mean, how much temptation comes to our young people through these phones that they all have, and for all of us for that matter. But when does it start? I mean, there's so much of that that is there, social media and all of these things. There's been a lot of changes and a lot of technology, and Yet we can find good things to use those things for, perhaps, but there's so much that is a source of temptation for our young people there. They need to be aware of that. But we need to turn away from any of these things that would pull us in a direction anyway other than the Lord. So young people are told to remember their Creator in the days of their youth. That is as valid and true and important now as it ever was. And seems to be a lot more difficult right now to do that than maybe not even but a few years ago. But there's some times that are worse than others, some times are more perilous than others. We know that from the Scriptures, but our young people do face a lot of temptation right now these days. So this is a good thing for them to be reminded of. They need to remind themselves. We need to remind them. Parents, all of us have a responsibility there to teach our young people these things. Now, we're reading here from the book of Ecclesiastes, which is a book that God inspired through King Solomon. And he was one that, as he's writing about the vanities that are there for young people, this was not just, of course, he was much older in years. This was late in his life when these words came. But this was something that Solomon was very acquainted with on a personal level. Back in chapter 2 of this book, Ecclesiastes chapter 2, Solomon was given great wisdom by God. And as he experienced that wisdom, he also had all of the things that that money and riches brought and all those temptations came to him. And this was part of what was part of the purpose that God had for Solomon in his life. But Ecclesiastes chapter 2 has a lot of those details about that. In the beginning, in verse 1 of Ecclesiastes 2, he says, "I said in my heart, go to now, I will prove thee with mirth. Therefore enjoy pleasure. And behold, this also is vanity. I said, of laughter is it mad, and of mirth, what doeth it? I sought in mine heart to give myself unto wine, yet acquainting mine heart with wisdom, and to lay hold on folly, till I might see what was good for the sons of men, which they should do under the heaven all the days of their life. I made me great works, I built me houses, I planted me vineyards, I made me gardens and orchards, and I planted trees in them of all kind of fruits. I made the pools of water to water therewith the wood that bringeth forth trees. I got me servants and maidens and had servants born in my house. Also I had great possessions of great and small cattle above all that were in Jerusalem before me. I gathered me also silver and gold and the peculiar treasure of kings and all the provinces. I got me men singers and women singers and the delights of the sons of men as musical instruments and all and that of all sorts. So I was great and increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. Also my wisdom remained with me. And whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy. For my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was my portion of all my labor. Then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought, and on the labor that I had labored to do. And behold, it was all was vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun." So Solomon experienced all of these things himself and above and beyond what any other had before or after him. And there's none of our young people that are going to have the means that were at Solomon's disposal and the wealth to experience all of these things. There was nothing that was available to him or nothing that was available to anybody else that wasn't available to him. I mean, he could experience it all and did. And what did he conclude from all of that? He recognized it was all vanity and vexation of spirit. So when we see that encouragement from God through him in chapters 11 and 12 for young people not to pursue after all of that, well, Solomon was speaking from personal experience there. And he had learned the lesson the hard way. But we need to, as young people, those that are young need to not experience all of those things and follow all of that evil and learn the hard way. So the opportunity to learn what is not vexation, vanity and vexation of spirit, what is profitable for the sons of men to do. And we saw there in chapter 2 that that was the ultimate objective that Solomon had to learn that, what was profitable for the sons of man to do under the heavens, while in this life. And we find that conclusion in the last two verses of the book, back to Ecclesiastes 12, verses 13 and 14. He says, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil." So what of all those earthly pleasures that Solomon was referring to there that he experienced in chapter 2 and that he was discouraging young people, and the Lord threw him in chapter 11 to the beginning of this 12th chapter? What about all of that that's vanity and vexation of spirit? Well, what is the purpose of being here then? Well, this is what it is. To fear God and keep His commandments. That's the whole of man, as he puts it there. And we're going to be judged ultimately by God. So this is a lesson to be learned in youth and to be remembered from those days forward. Now, the Lord gives us the encouragement, or gives young people, and all of us, the encouragement of several of His righteous servants that did learn these things, that did remember their Creator in the days of their youth and gave themselves to seeking and serving Him from a very tender age and followed the Lord all of their days. Very excellent examples for young people to learn from. And, of course, not just for the young, for all of us. Just looking at some of those notable examples in the Scriptures, one of those that we have is Joseph. We turn to Genesis chapter 37, and we read about Joseph, who's one of the most righteous ones of the Bible. In Genesis 37 and verse 2, he says, "These are the generations of Jacob, Joseph being 17 years old." So what he starts to tell us about Joseph and what we learn of him here in the Scriptures and it starts at what age? How old was he? He's 17. So here's Joseph as a 17-year-old. It says, was feeding the flock with his brethren. And it's easy to kind of blip over some of those statements. He's feeding the flock with his brethren. I mean, he had 10 older brothers. I was blessed with two. So I can only imagine what his life was like. But anyway, he had 10 older brothers. I had to do that since one of mine's here right now. But anyway, 10 older brothers. So Joseph, here being 17 years old, grew up with all these older brothers. Yet what is he doing at this age of 17? I know I inherited some of the jobs around the house as I was growing up. And my older brothers, they had responsibilities and jobs before me, being older. Some of those things that I wanted to do that they were doing and then I got to do, then I wanted to question myself later, why did I want to do that? We can see with Joseph, he's exercising a lot of responsibility. He's 17 years old. I mean, his brothers are, couldn't he just say, well, I've got 10 older brothers to do all the feeding of the flocks. I can just sleep till noon or 1 or 2 o'clock in the afternoon and get up whenever I feel like it and I don't have to do anything. I've got all these other people to do it. That's not what his mind was, obviously. So he was taking responsibility. He was doing these works, and he's feeding his flock with his brothers. And it says, and the lad was with the sons of Bilhah, with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it his brethren, and they hated him yet more. Well, these were dreams that God gave to him because God was using him already as a prophet. And he was foretelling what was going to ultimately happen as God was going to raise up Joseph, who later became ruler of all Egypt only under Pharaoh himself. Because his brothers sold him into bondage there because they hated him and they envied him. But we can see that what God was doing with Joseph already when Joseph was only 17 years old, and one of the great examples we have in all the Bible. David is another one, of course, and we can't neglect to look at him when we consider the Bible's great examples of young people who remembered the Lord in the days of their youth. And David did so in 1 Samuel chapter 13, verses 13 and 14. David's not called by name here, but already God knows him and has David in mind and is describing him here when he was rebuking King Saul for his evil. It says, "And Samuel said to Saul, thou hast done foolishly and hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee. For now would the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever, but now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord hath sought him a man after his own heart, and the Lord hath commanded him to be captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee." Who was that man that was a man after God's own heart? Well, that he's referring to David, of course. And that's the one that he did choose to be the successor for King Saul on the throne of Israel. Now we next read about David in chapter 16 when he was anointed to be king. He's the eighth son of Jesse, so he only had seven older brothers. David was one that was left with the flocks. He was like Joseph. He was tending to the flocks in 1 Samuel 16 when Samuel the prophet was directed to anoint one of Jesse's sons to be king of the next king of Israel. They didn't even think to bring David there. I mean, he's the eighth and final son. They bring all the other ones. Obviously, it couldn't have been David. So he's left with the flocks. But again, that shows David's faithfulness already at that age, that he could be entrusted with that and that responsibility, and he was doing that. And then finally, he was called there because he was the one that God had chosen. And the next chapter, 1 Samuel 17, is that great and famous chapter of David and Goliath. And David was still a very young man at that time. When he was ready to go and face Goliath, he was being discouraged from doing so by the king of Israel, by Saul. He said, told David in 1 Samuel 17:33, "And Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth." So he was looking at David's tender age, and you can't go do this. But that's not how David saw it at all. And we know what happened after that. But here David is a very young man, was already one that was a man after God's own heart and seeking God, remembering him in the days of his youth, and following him in his ways. In 2 Chronicles chapter 34, we have another very excellent example. And this is one that we can see in just in a very brief passage. But in 2 Chronicles chapter 34, we read about another king over Judah, a descendant of David's, one of the rare righteous ones that reigned as kings over Judah, Josiah. In 2 Chronicles chapter 34, verse 1, Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned in Jerusalem 130 years, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the ways of David his father, and declined neither to the right hand nor to the left. For in the 8th year of his reign, while he was yet young, and if you do the math there from what we were told in verse 1 of his age when he became king, this is when he was 16 years old. While he was yet young, he began to seek after the God of David his father, and in the 12th year he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem from the high places and the groves and the carved images and the molten images. And it goes on to show all those works that he did, and he never departed from that. So he started seeking the Lord and doing these things when he was only 16. So another one in his teen years as an example there. From the New Testament, and we're running out of time very rapidly, but one of the ones that we remember, of course, would be Timothy as a Christian from a young man. He's described in 2 Timothy chapter 1, at least his background is given there, 2 Timothy 1 and verse 5, as the Apostle Paul, by God's inspiration, was calling to remembrance. He says, "The unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also." And then in a little more detail in chapter 3 about this, in verses 12 through 15, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 and 15, he says, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." Now, Timothy had that upbringing from, had a very righteous mother and grandmother that he named there in chapter 1 that taught him those Holy Scriptures from his childhood. And he learned them, but he believed and followed them from his childhood. And we, after he was learned of Christ and became a follower of Christ, in 1 Timothy chapter 4, we read about Timothy and what he was instructed there. 1 Timothy chapter 4, in verses 12 through 16, he says, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word and conversation and charity and spirit and faith and purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee." Well, what was how much was the Lord using Timothy as a young man in the service of Christ here? To be an example of a believer in all those ways, he says, in word and in his behavior, in love and spirit and faith and purity. And he was doing that. And he was teaching God's word to many. And he was to take heed to himself, but also to what he was teaching these others. And in doing that, he was going to save himself and the ones who were hearing him. So look at all that Timothy was doing at that time. He's described by the Apostle Paul further in Philippians chapter 2. There was none other like him, as is described here. Philippians chapter 2, starting in verse 19. "But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state, for all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. But you know the proof of him, that as a son with a father, he hath served with me in the gospel." He didn't have anybody else like Timothy, that is the Apostle Paul. And there were a lot of ones that worked with him. And but he was above them all in this way, in seeking and serving Christ. And that being stated of a young man, an excellent example. Of course, the best of all, and we've won't read the verses now. I think we know them well. We'll leave it as a reference in Luke 2, 42 to 52. Jesus, when he was 12 years old, was one able to ask questions of the ones who were the scholars in God's word, and to be able to show his understanding of those scriptures. And they were astounded at that. His parents had started on the journey back, leaving Jerusalem, heading back to Nazareth. Realized he wasn't with their company and turned around, and there he was in the temple doing was about his father's business, as he put it there. But that was in Luke chapter 2 when Jesus was 12. Of course, he's the greatest example of all for all of us, from young and old. But the Lord has told us about many of his servants who remembered him in the days of their youth. And so the Lord gives young people that encouragement. He also gives that warning in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verses 20 through 22. It's a warning for all, but it starts for the young and then is for the rest of us as well. But he says, "In a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use and prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart." So similar what we see there in that passage in 2 Timothy 2, 20 through 22, as to what we started with in Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 9 through chapter 12, verse 1. Flee youthful lusts, but follow after righteousness and faith, love, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. That's what we do when we remember our Creator from the days of our youth. If you are here this morning, whatever age you are, if you are not yet one who has been remembering your Creator, and then it's the time. This is the right time to do so. So this is an opportunity for anybody that is here that needs to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, or for any that are a member of the Lord's body that need the prayers of the church and might need the Lord's pardon for anything in your life. This is an opportunity for anybody that needs to respond to the Lord's invitation, and we encourage anyone that needs to come now while we stand together and sing.